Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Miner. This weekly no-fluff mindset show arms you with the practical tools you need to get unstuck so you can get exactly what you want out of life. Remember, when you change your mind, your life will follow. Let's get into today's episode. Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the Unstuck Podcast. Thank you, as always, for joining me on this episode. So happy to be here with you and happy to introduce you to a wonderful guest on this episode. I love, love, love this episode. I cannot wait for you to hear from my friend Carrie Owens, which you will do here in just a minute. I have known Carrie for quite a while, probably 4 or 5 years. I originally was introduced to her for her work on self-care and self-love. As you'll hear in the episode, she was one of the first people that I knew who talked about self-care in more than just bubble baths and manicures and pedicures, but more deeply on the need for all people to engage in healthy self-care practices. So that's how I originally was introduced to her. And over the years, we've built a relationship, become friends, and both of our work has, of course, evolved from that space into now very similar paths. Carrie is very much also involved in understanding limiting beliefs, in using and trusting your intuition as your guiding principle throughout life. And she's been through similar things as far as health crises in toxic relationships. We're going to get into both of those with a lot of detail, and even negative body image and working through that in both herself and her clients. And she has some really fascinating takes on all of those things that I loved to hear from her. And I think one of the best things that you all will take away from Carrie's talk is these tools, really these They are tools, but really they're deep questions that you can start getting involved in your own journey with. These questions that she brings up that are these tipping points for you to start diving in way deeper into your own self-development. So I cannot wait for you all to hear this. Let me give you a proper introduction of Carrie, and then we will get into our chat. Carrie Owens is a life coach, mindset practitioner, speaker, and the creator of the Sacred Self Journal. Carrie has coached hundreds of women into greater self-acceptance and grounded confidence. Carrie's coaching programs help guide women into healthy relationships with themselves that lead to deep life satisfaction and inner empowerment. Her biggest mission is to help women see themselves as whole and come to know their own worth. All right, it's time to hear from Carrie. Carrie, thank you so much for coming on Unstuck today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, yeah, I'm equally as excited. I think we have a lot to cover. The work that you are doing is so in alignment with what we talk about here on Unstuck and what so many women that are listening to this episode today, they're in that process of really trying to understand more about what's going on in their head and connecting to their soul, I guess we can call it for today, and just really getting there. So I'm excited to have you help us unpack all that. Why don't you start by introducing yourself to those that aren't familiar with your work and what you do, why you do it, where you came from, all that good stuff.
Awesome. Well, I'm Carrie. Hey, everyone. I'm so happy to be on this show with you today. I'm a life and mindset coach, and I work specifically with women, and I focus on really understanding your soul and ourselves as a whole person and unpacking things like negative self-talk and how we can step into being, you know, our true selves and what is in alignment with our soul so that we can live and create the life that we actually want that feels deeply rewarding, which is completely in alignment with what Sean does with Unstuck and helping you to really get the life that you want. And my work really started out in my own journey, like so many of us, really doing my own work. I had, you know, experienced different health crises in my life and from a very, very young age. And over time, really experiencing the deterioration of my physical body and also my emotional body, my emotional being, that led to so many false beliefs, so many insecurities. And it wasn't until I was really waking up to what was going on in my mind that I realized so much of my life was being controlled by that and not by these limitations that I perceived as physical or even environmental or societal. It was really more what I was thinking about myself. And once I did that and I dug into deeper work of how do I actually change this, that I began to really, really see the power in that. And it really is what ignited me to start working with people in general and being of service to others to help them see past, you know, some of these things that we can kind of get more stuck on thinking that this is the answer, you know, this one thing is going to be the answer rather than seeing that so much of the answers are already within you. It's about untapping and actually listening to yourself and what those are. And that has just driven everything that I've done. And I've seen the power that happens of the work actually being done in my clients and women who, you know, have my journal or even just, you know, participate in dialogue, really start to learn that from listening to themselves, that is the key to being empowered and really changing their life. And I feel so grateful to do what I do.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I'm sure you also feel so grateful that you found this work yourself, you know, instead of going through this constant spiral of like, what else can I do? What else can I do? What else can I do from like this external perspective in order to try to gain your health, to feel better about yourself, all these things that we do externally, you go down this rabbit hole. And then, you know, I'm curious for you, did you find that it was this one kind of pivotal moment for you where you're like, I think there's something else I'm missing? Or how did that transition look for you to go from these external things you were trying to get healthier and, you know, change your life and all this stuff to really diving inward?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, like most things, it was really multifaceted in terms of like the journey of getting, of like arriving to that place. You know, I had experienced different health crises, so I was navigating through that and had been for a very long time. I was diagnosed at 15 with a really rare form of arthritis. So from 15 on, I had always been battling this kind of internal dialogue of trying to figure out how I could just, you know, live my life and enjoy my life, you know, alongside having physical ailments or trying to heal from those. But I also, later in my 20s, was actually, you know, I'd been in several different really terrible relationships. There's no other way to put it, and really toxic relationships. And it was after leaving one of those relationships that I, to be honest, just had a like complete breakdown where I was just like, I don't feel connected to myself. I don't know what my future holds. Why does the same thing keep happening where I end up in these relationships that are really toxic and negative and manipulative and controlling, you know? And on top of that, I feel like crap in my physical body, even though I'm trying to do all these things, like the pieces of this puzzle are just not fitting together. And that time when I left that relationship, I basically, like I said, had a meltdown. And I remember crying hysterically and looking myself in the mirror and just kind of out of desperation, just kind of that look of like, what else is there? What else can I do? Just like you were saying. And I heard this tiny whisper inside that just said, you deserve better. And it was like, you know, the loudest thing that it could possibly be while also being the quietest thing it could possibly be. And I just remember in that moment being like, okay, if I want that to be true, and if there's some, even if it's small, part of me that actually believes that is true, even though I've been telling myself that it's not, right? And all of these negative thoughts that I have been having, you know, that were leading me down that path, then I want to focus on that really, really small part. Like, I've not heard this voice before, and I want to become that voice's best friend. Mm-hmm. And it was in the pursuit of that, of like, if I believe that I deserve better, what are the actual possibilities that are out there for me? And so that was kind of the cascade that really put me towards looking for deeper insight and into that being inside of myself.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I want to unpack a lot of that, but I am curious, when you heard that little voice that had this very clear, very important message from there, because I have a feeling that a lot of women can get there. Mm-hmm. They actually do feel that little voice or experience that sensation, however it comes up, you know, that intuitive sense. But then it's either like, okay, what do I do with this? Or it's like, I heard that, but I'm going to ignore it. So what was it like for you then to continue on? Like, did you take that advice? Did you move forward with actions, or did you have more digging to do? Did you journal? Did you read? Did you absorb? What did you do from there?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And you're right that so many people get to that point, but it's like the path forward that we seek. And yeah, from there, basically for me, like when I say that was like rock bottom, that was rock bottom. Like, it was truly like, if I want to change anything in my life, if I don't want to end up in another relationship where I'm in the same place that I am, because this wasn't like a one-off experience. This had been, you know, I was in these toxic relationships over and over again, somewhat blindly, like not even realizing what was actually happening until I was realizing it, right? And so that voice, it just felt like somewhat of a relief, honestly. It was like, oh, it was, had so much more subliminal messages to it than just you deserve better. It was also really letting me know that everything that I had been doing, like I had been taking part of, right? Like I didn't, no one forced me to enter into these toxic relationships. Like I was doing something to attract or to enter in or to believe that this is what I deserved. Mm-hmm. And the work had to begin there. And at the time, I had enough awareness to know that if I didn't listen to that voice, like what else was I doing? Like, what was the point? What was the point of doing anything else but listening to that voice? And so from there, I really sought out insight that helped me turn inward. So I started doing a lot of reading and a lot of introspection and a lot of journaling. One of the first people and also books that I turned to was Dr. Wayne Dyer and his work on really understanding the power of what we say and what we say about ourselves and how that attracts or detracts from what we want in our lives. And I, you know, one of the books that I absolutely love is Wishes Fulfilled. And that book is one of the first books I read after that happened that really brought me out of and into understanding of myself and what I had actually been contributing to in what I had been experiencing by just the thoughts and the things that I'd been saying to myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm very interested if you're open to discussing what did you learn about yourself and why you kept getting into these relationships. There are many people out there that are doing this also unknowingly, and it may not necessarily be with like romantic relationships. It could be with mm-hmm. friends or coworkers or bosses, something like that, where you continue to navigate towards something that you know isn't good for you.
Yeah, I'm so open. Absolutely. And I will also add that I could see at that time too, where the things that I was believing or the things that I was saying to myself weren't just contributing to romantic relationships. So that is what I've been referring to, but that they actually were contributing to other relationships that I had navigated in the past that left me feeling depleted or less than. And what I really realized was that I was giving myself messages like, you know, stay small, you don't deserve to speak up, like your opinion doesn't really matter. You know, people will like you more if you don't share too much. And what happened is those negative voices were amplified by these relationships that I was involved in, where I was allowing myself and the person was taking advantage of the ability to manipulate or control me based off of what I was already telling myself. And those voices, those beliefs that I held about what I deserved in a relationship, what I deserved to receive in the form of love, really over time, as I unpacked, I mean, this is like a lot of unpacking that I'm summarizing in a very short
Yeah, this
time.
Doesn't happen in like 24 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I didn't read a book and then this came to me. Like this is a long time. I just need to preface that. But really understanding that those voices and those beliefs, those fundamental beliefs that I was carrying, which of course were limiting, were coming from a place within me that was deeply insecure. Because of other things that I had experienced in my life, like getting really sick and having all of my friends completely just leave me, like disappear, you know, from having divorced parents and not really having my dad as much a part of my life as a young child, and always really wanting and seeking his attention. And these over time built up this deep insecurity of wanting to be loved, wanting to be accepted, and then basically tampering myself with these other negative voices about what I had to do in order to receive or accept love.
Mm. Yeah, that's deep. That's big. I mean, and like you mentioned, it takes a long time to get there. It can take some serious introspection and some serious work, internal work, to finally get to that point where that's what you can see. And also that you can make the correlation between this is how the actions that I'm taking, that's really what's coming out of this really, really deep belief. You know, it often takes a lot of work just to see how the two are connected. So you were able to get to the point where that was noticeable. You found that in you. And I know, again, for a lot of women, they potentially are able to find that sticking point, find that limiting belief, or that we call it the story here a lot. And then what? You know, I think there's so many women who see it. They know that those limiting beliefs exist, but, and they're ready, they're ready and willing to let that go, but it's just so hard to let go. We have that negative self-talk. We have that ego chatter that's keeping us kind of trying to keep that belief instilled in us, trying to keep us safe, and we're ready to let go. So what for you did you do? What do you recommend to clients now? What's the process?
Yeah, that's such a big question. What's the process? I'm like, it's loaded. No, actually, as you were talking and sharing about that, I was just thinking, and you're right, there's so many women, myself included, who over time have had experiences where a limiting belief has come up and either made excuses about it or, you know, kind of brushed it under the rug, that, you know, not felt like, oh, it's not actually impacting me that much, right? Because if we allow ourselves to actually listen to what's going on in our minds, we know what is actually not helping us. We know what is actually limiting us. And listening is important, but listening doesn't do anything if you're not actually honest with yourself about the impact that a belief is having on you. And I think that was just it for me. Like I had spent so much time in those relationships and in other situations, other dynamics, and just not valuing myself, basically, that I was just like done with that. Like as soon as I had any glimpse of the other side, it was not a question for me. Of course it was difficult, but it was just not a question. But one thing that I recommend and really helped me and continues to help me, because I still have things that pop up that are limiting as I grow and evolve as a human being. And I always ask the question of like, how is this belief protecting me? Because everything is always protecting us in some form.
Yeah, it's true. And yeah, like I said, I mean, that ego voice is doing its job of trying to keep you safe, trying to keep you in your bubble, in your comfort zone. And a lot of times that's not what we need to grow as a human. So being able to see that, just noticing that in itself is so powerful, because then you can see how that's playing out and how in order to get where you want to go, you don't need that protection. You don't need that safety.
Yeah. And I think that it's also really important to realize that when you ask yourself that question of how is this belief protecting me, to realize you're not probably just talking to your adult self as you are right now. Like you're probably talking to some younger version of yourself that's likely an insecurity of some kind. Mm-hmm. Now, I won't generalize and say that that's always true, but I find it to be often true. And so that is why like beating yourself up doesn't work, you know, continuing like the negative thought cycle or trying to like force yourself out of that cycle doesn't actually work. So if you can approach yourself with compassion and say, how is this actually protecting me? And then decide from there to create the safe space actually within yourself, rather than believing that it's somehow external, right? That this belief is going to protect me. We can actually move forward, and it doesn't have to look like a big giant leap and step. It wasn't like I did this work and then jumped right into another relationship. You know, mm-hmm. You can take baby steps. Like you can even be crawling. It doesn't matter how you move forward. But if you know that you have one, created compassion within yourself, and you're seeking to listen to what it is that's coming up inside of you, that's rising to the surface, you can move forward.
Mm-hmm. I love it so much. I am wondering, because this is a pretty, I'd say, significant thing to understand about yourself, this deep-rooted insecurity that you had been holding on to. And I'm interested to know in what other ways you ended up finding out that was showing up for you, you know, in friendships or your career or money issues, things like that. Like, where else did you see this come up?
Yeah, totally. I saw it come up in my career. One example I can give like pretty clearly is in early in my career when I was working for a company and I had a boss that was just awful to me. I mean, like actually verbally abusive. And, you know, like I said, this had been a similar pattern in my intimate relationships. And I just believed, like, I just told myself, I just made excuses really for why I would allow myself to be treated that way. And part of it was because I like to see the good in everyone. And part of it was because I didn't know how to value myself. And that was from the insecurity of just basically this belief of you don't get to ask for the love that you want. You just get to take what you get. Mm. And so this dynamic, this relationship with this boss at the time, I knew that something was off. I knew that, you know, deep down, like the way he treated me wasn't right, that his side comments weren't right. Like I knew all of that was true, but it wasn't until a new coworker came into that office and she had the same exact position as me. And we were working alongside each other. And one day she basically just said to me, and this was like after a week of her being there, and I'd been there for, I don't know, 4 months. And she said, you do realize that he is being abusive towards you. Mm. And it took, you know, someone else talking up and being like, hey, do you not see this? You know, you don't deserve this, right? But it wasn't until, you know, later on when I had more of that breakdown and revelation and really coming to see the light of what was it within me that was just allowing, you know, to be around or to tolerate how other people were treating me, that I could really tie it all together. And, but yeah, so that's an example of how it was manifesting in, you know, a different relationship, and mostly from me not being willing to really stand up and hold my value. And I will say, because I think that this can be challenging for many of us, for a long time, I didn't see at that time, like, oh, this is an insecure, there's an insecurity in me that's being protected. What I saw at the time, and I think this can often be conflated, and oftentimes there are so many nuances, so it's more than just one thing, but I conflated it with at the time, like, I'm just a compassionate person, I'm an empath, I can see how he's really struggling too, I can see that he's not a bad person, you know, and that I say he's in like a general anyone, mm-hmm. like that went for anyone. Instead of focusing on what was it within me that actually was allowing myself to be put in these positions and to be completely depleted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even that, you know, I'm a compassionate person and I'm an empath. Even that is a story, you know, a protection mechanism story mm-hmm. within yourself. And that's so fascinating. I think a lot of people do that and still don't realize that the work is still inside of themselves, you know, and not looking externally. I want to go back to that little voice that you heard in your turning point moment. Is that something that, you know, over the years now that you've done this work and throughout the process of doing this work that you now rely on pretty regularly?
Yeah, absolutely. I am also a believer that we have more than one inner voice. And so I know that's a whole different.
Yeah, I'm very curious about this.
Yeah, but yes, absolutely. And, you know, I've always, I would say, known in the way that we all actually know. I've always known my whole life that I had an intuition that was very strong. And like most people over time, that got buffered out or not paid attention to. And so in really hearing that voice and deciding that I was going to honor it, it was like for the first time in my life, I was deciding to honor myself. And that is where what I really took forward and held that belief and that sort of place in my heart. And yes, I absolutely lean on my inner voice and that guidance and that sense of knowing within myself.
So then as you were able to kind of quiet this negative chatter and really, you know, tune into your beliefs and call them out, essentially, did you feel that that just naturally grew stronger, like that ability to hear that voice and listen?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as soon as you're in touch with it and you continue to practice listening and honoring it, because it takes both, as we've talked about before, you know, plenty of people, we hear it, but we don't acknowledge it or we don't do anything with it. It takes listening and honoring. And as soon as you do that and you keep doing it, it's like exercising a muscle, right? Like it just gets stronger. It just gets louder. It gets more comfortable and you begin to actually trust it more. And with that really comes self-trust and really leaning into that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now I really have to know, what is with the multiple inner voices? This is very exciting. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. I mean, in my work and what I believe is that we are so many parts that create a whole. And, you know, that work really comes from so many different psychologists, that have studied just how exactly our mind works and how we make sense of things. And so the reason why I say I feel like we have multiple voices is because of something that I pointed out earlier. in saying that, you know, when you're talking to this, you know, other voice that comes up that has a limiting belief, it's likely that you're not just talking to your adult self now. Mm-hmm. You're probably talking to, you know, this insecure place, and that insecure place could be, you know, could have been started at a really young age. So that voice isn't necessarily like your adult self as you are now with the wisdom and the insight and the knowledge you have now. It might be this younger self. And so if that is true, if there's this voice that is much younger, then it can also be true that there's this voice that is much older and much wiser than you are now. And there's all these different ways that we can listen to all of these. And so, you know, we could get into a much more detailed discussion about just how we integrate these different voices and understand what the messages that are coming are needed and how to receive them, which is a lot of the work that I do that really helps people to understand themselves as a whole.
It's fascinating. And I totally, now that you mentioned it, I totally see that for sure. And I think just if you have maybe like a starting point kind of tool, perhaps, to start receiving these voices?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing that comes to my mind, which I offer a lot that is really helpful, and I always like to start with either a thought or a limiting belief. So if either of these come in, right, or you're thinking about a situation or something that you want and you have a doubt about it, or you have a negative thought about it, or you know that there's a limiting belief holding you back from it, ask yourself, how old does this part of me feel?
That's very cool.
Because as soon as you can identify, like, how old does this part of you feel, you're going to get more in touch with why that limiting belief is there, why that negative thought is there, and how to actually speak to it, how to actually listen to that part of yourself and then either change that thought based off of what you know as like a fully formed and whole adult that you are now, or really look at what is the further work that I need to do in order to support or shift this limiting belief or this thought that is however old it is.
That is so fascinating. How cool. Okay, I'm going to start doing that because that sounds really just informative. Like, it's just taking it that much deeper almost, I feel like. So you have that much more capability of really understanding and working through that belief than if you can really get to the origin of it, which is, you know, I think a goal for sure. I want to talk a little bit about negative self-talk in general, because I think when we hear, a lot of us as women hear negative self-talk, we initially go to like the thoughts that we have about our physical appearance, like about our bodies or our looks, things like that. Is that something that you experience as well, or people in your community, your clients experience? And how is that something that we can move through based on this work?
Oh gosh, yes. I don't know a woman that has not experienced that. Like, I just sadly, I do not know a woman that has not experienced negative thoughts or self-talk around her body. And including myself, I definitely have my own journey with that. And one of the things that, you know, I really look at when it comes to how we perceive our bodies is really just a reflection of like how we perceive ourselves. And I know that that might sound kind of, not as deep, like I'm going to go deeper. So just hang with me, but really it's a reflection of just how we see ourselves. And so if our beliefs are not in support of ourself, how are we going to have thoughts about our body that are in support of ourself? And so when we're focused so much on the physical appearance of ourselves. And, you know, of course, we could get into so much detail about why that exists to begin with in society. But when we're focused so much on that, we're missing like what is actually deeper, more deeply held underneath, which is just how we actually feel about who we are, and or the lack of understanding or confidence in acceptance of just who we are. And so the one of the first things that I really look at is breaking down, like, what is it that you are not accepting about yourself, like in all areas of your life? And why are the reasons like that you're dissatisfied with that? Because all of our dissatisfaction, like, it comes from, you know, different elements that are happening in our life, but they get targeted towards other things. So like if you're dissatisfied, let's say, in your relationship or unhappy with that, like, I wouldn't be surprised if some of those thoughts are being targeted towards your body too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. And again, I think it is something that if we get more introspective and ask more questions, when we can finally get to those beliefs and see where they came from, I think a lot of it is also coming from these childhood experiences. You know, like, how old does that belief feel? Like, it probably feels like something from when you were 4, 5, 7, 8 years old. And I think that is really helpful to understand too, because then it almost just shows that it's just something you're still carrying around. And does it actually still apply? Which quite often, no, it doesn't. And it's a little easier to work through.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you're making that connection, Sean, and like really tying that into this subject too. Because as soon as you said that, and I was thinking about what is the sort of action that I would give people to reflect on when you're having a negative thought about your body, or you're just talking negatively to yourself or to someone else about your body, one of the things that is really helpful to ask yourself, if you're not accepting of your body, or you're not accepting of where you're at, or you just have these negative thoughts you don't feel like you can get rid of, is to really ask yourself, who am I answering to? Right? Because to some extent, all women, all of us, we've been answering to society, right? About our bodies and how they should look and how we should be perceived and all of that. But if you can combine both of those and say, how old does this part of me feel? Get that answer, sit with that, and then say, and who am I answering to? When some of these are paired together, I'll give you an example. Like with one of my clients, when we did this around issue, body issues, her answer was, I'm answering to my mom. Mm. You know, I'm 34 and I'm still answering to my mom, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And how my mom thinks that I should be, or how my mom thinks that I should look, instead of answering to yourself, right? And so how do we learn to actually answer to ourselves and accept that as the foundation and really feel grounded in that, rather than, you know, answering to all these other people, which we do.
Oh my gosh, that is so huge. Now, it seems like a lot of this work is really asking yourself some tough questions, essentially, really diving in to your own thoughts and experiences. And then it gets down into where we can figure out these beliefs. I know that you actually have a journal that you created. And so I'm assuming then that means that you find journaling to be one of the best practices out there to do this kind of work.
1,000%.
It's so, so helpful. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, no, I have. It's called the Sacred Self Journal, and I created it. It was inspired by my clients and the work that I was giving them, the questions and the prompts that I was giving them, and just seeing how effective this was, and also how many actually were lost before working with me in terms of getting into journaling because they didn't understand how to use it as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
And journaling is absolutely one of the most effective ways if you're asking the right questions. And that's what I always say, is like, it's about asking the right questions and about being honest with yourself and creating the safe space with yourself that allows you to be honest and allows you to grow, you know, with compassion. But, you know, I didn't get to where I am today, you know, with the coaching that I am doing and with the clients that I have all over the world without journaling. Mm-hmm. And it sounds, when you put it all together and you, like, you know how many people I've worked with and the things that I've created, it sounds like such a small part of it all, when in fact it has the biggest impact. And hands down, if you ask anyone of my clients, like, what is one of the biggest things that, you know, that Carrie has given you or a tool that she's given you, they would all say journaling and knowing how to journal in a way that actually serves the purpose of moving through things or understanding yourself more, because there's all different kinds of journaling that are useful. It's just about how you're using them and what your goal is.
I'm curious, what's your kind of go-to prompt right now in this stage of your kind of becoming?
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, in this stage of my becoming, it's really been, how am I continuing to challenge myself to grow? Mm-hmm. I think I'm in a stage right now where I've done so much inner work, right? And I've gotten to the place that I am where I coach and I help other women do this, and it's super rewarding and I love it. And I know that there's, you know, there's all these levels in our life, and we kind of like come up against a level and we have to kind of like break through the upper surface of that level in order to like be exposed to what is above it, right? What is the next level? And I feel like I'm there and I'm trying to understand where my gaps are in terms of my own like limits to growth at this stage that I'm in right now, and understanding and unpacking like what is there.
Mm-hmm. I know you're also a big fan of self-love, self-care, and really understanding what those actually mean and really making them a non-negotiable practice for all women. So tell me a little bit more about how you combine that work also into what you do with yourself and your clients.
Yeah. I feel like I've been talking about self-care before self-care became a buzzword. but, you know, the way I really see it is self-nourishment. And once you learn how to nourish yourself, it's like the most empowering thing you can do. And that, you know, comes in so many different forms. How do you nourish yourself spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally? And that's really how I focus on it with my clients. And the main thing that I try to do is help them understand that self-care and self-love is not something that has an agenda or are items to check off on a list, or even entirely what somebody else has defined it for you as, and 100% what you want to define it as, and what does it look like to support and take care of yourself, based off of the relationship that you are either creating with yourself or that you want to have with yourself.
Mm. I like that. I like that it's kind of something that you do almost to nourish, again, like who you are becoming, you know, really looking towards that person that you're in the process of leaning into and honoring that person, that being. So I think that's really beautiful. And then tell us a little bit more about your practice and what you do and where people can find you.
Yeah. So I work with women and I do coaching one-on-one, and I also offer group coaching. And you can find me at carrieowens.com or on Instagram at carriesfullsoul. And my work is really around helping you build a better relationship with yourself and step more into your own grounded confidence, so that you can really find and discover and live the life that feels in alignment with you. And I absolutely love what I do. It's so rewarding and I can't get enough of it. And I hope that you come say hi on any social channel. I'd love to chat with you.
And there's a new podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Don't let me bet, Sean. Yes. And I just launched my podcast, the Soul Power Podcast.
Ooh, I'm so excited to check that out. I just love the work that you're doing. I think it is invaluable to women. And I think we're also kind of in this place where we're waking up. You know, we're all kind of waking up together and doing this work together and really understanding what's at the core of our being and what we really, truly want out of our experience here on earth. So I love that you are taking charge of that and coaching women through that. And I look forward to learning more from you and continuing our friendship. And of course, all of the listeners will also learn a bunch from you as well. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's been so nice. I'm so happy that we got to chat about all these things. I know we could probably spend another like 2 hours.
I know there's so much because this is the kind of work where it is infiltrating every single part of your life. You know, it's not just nutrition. It's not just health. It's not just relationships, career. It's all of it. And we all have our own stories where we can see this work in every single part of our existence. And it's so cool to see that because that really truly is when you can live the life that you want in all regards. And it's so fun to see how this is blossoming for all of us. So thanks again, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks so much.
Hey, you. Are you still struggling to get off that diet roller coaster once and for all? I've been there. I get it. I know how it feels to want food freedom and to be able to make your own decisions, but then get sucked back into the next diet, the next promise that won't actually deliver. I did it for over 20 years, but now on the other side, I can tell you that food freedom is where it's at. And I am now committed to helping as many women find that place where they can trust their own bodies and make their own decisions for their health and happiness without having to resort to counting calories, counting macros, using those darn tracking apps, and staying away from their favorite foods. Because it doesn't have to be that way. There is another way, and I can tell you it's worth it. If you're ready to get off the diet roller coaster once and for all, guess what? I have a free 5-day food freedom challenge that will get you there. All it takes is a few minutes every morning to read my email for the day and practice it in your own life for that day. It's as simple as that. 5 emails, 5 days with me. You will find a new sense of freedom with both the food you put on your plate and the body that is taking you through this life. I can't wait for you to get started. All you have to do is head to seanminor.com/food freedom and get started today. It's completely free and it's only 5 days, and you get to spend them with me. I will come into your inbox every single day for the next 5 days to food freedom. I'll see you inside.